You may be thinking the world is not ready for your idea. Not many people pursue what you're dreaming about, and it leaves you behind insecure. My today's guest is my friend and trailblazer, Gracia Sotomayor. She discovered artistic cycling, left her home country, Peru, to pursue her newfound passion as the first ambassador for Latin America, and she's building her business globally. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you are making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. If you're feeling invisible, having a hard time to break through the noise, inconsistent with creating content, not knowing what to say and how to say it, but deep down you know your message and your work can change people's lives, then listen up. I have created something so powerful for you. It's called the Magnetic Influence Accelerator, a high-touch group program that helps you build a personal brand and visibility strategy that works for you without being glued to your phone 24/7. This isn't about chasing trends or faking authority. It's about showing up clearly, consistently, so you attract clients, collaborations, podcast invites, and real opportunities that grow your business. Inside the program, you will learn how to clarify your message and story so you always know what to say, create content that feels aligned, not forced, build trust through presence and not pressure, grow visibility beyond social media like pitching podcasts and guest posts. And you get coaching, feedback, and a supportive community so you're never doing it alone. Head over to the show notes. The link for more information is right below. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. Today, I invited someone I was already waiting for a long time to invite since last year, November, as I have met Gracia in New York City as we were embarking on our speaking journey. I remember the days after our workshops and after rehearsing our first speech. We went to the Central Park, had our walks, our conversations. I was patiently listening to Gracia's story, which is not just a story full of empowerment, but it is full of courage. Welcome, Gracia. And I was pronouncing your name already the third time in the English way, but it's actually Spanish and sounds like
Gracia.
Gracia. Let's stick to that. Yeah. Gracia, thank you for being here today. Before we deep dive into the conversation of the how and the why, please tell us first, what is artistic cycling? Because I didn't know about it when I met you, and I'm sure that many other people also don't know about it.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. You almost made me cry with that introduction. Thank you. I am really excited. I'm really excited to be here, actually. And okay, so what I do, I'm an artistic cyclist. That is an official sport, and it's, yeah, it's a cycling sport. And it's like doing gymnastics on a bike. So people imagine either BMX, which is also something like doing tricks on your bike, or something like in the circus. It's more like that. In the bike, you use the bike not only with the two wheels on the ground and go forward, but also backwards, or in like a wheelie, or you're sitting on the handlebar, or you're just completely standing up with one wheel on the ground, and you can go, yeah, forward and backwards. You can even do handstands on the bike. It's really amazing. This sport, it's really nice to see. It's really elegant and it's really gracefully. So yeah, that's artistic cycling. And there is not known. There are competitions, there are international competitions, but most of the countries that participate are European countries, also Hong Kong and Japan. Mm-hmm. And from Latin America, Peru is participating since 2021. And in the 200 years that this sport has, a couple of countries from Latin America, but really, really rarely. So yeah, that's artistic cycling. Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, guys, it's a bike that moves while you are standing upside down in a handstand on one wheel kind of thing, which I find extremely impressive. Gracia, Gracia, when you found that sport, like, you are an initial digital marketer. This is what you embarked on. You studied in Peru, in Lima, in your hometown. So can you take us shortly to the transition from how did you get from Peru to Belgium, the where you are right now, and you left marketing behind and you started cycling?
Yeah, with no sportive background, actually. But yeah, I had like a normal life in Peru, like a stable lifestyle. I was working in a digital agency. I had a really good position. And I realized that that was not my life because I was feeling really, really sad. So I needed to quit my job because I was not being myself. And I started riding my bike because that was making me happy. So I met a group of people that was riding their bikes, a fixed gear bike. And through these people who were more internationals from Latin America, I saw a magazine. And in this magazine, I saw a small article about artistic cycling. And I thought, I need to know what is this. I was completely obsessed with that. I looked for some information in Spanish, so ciclismo artístico, and I couldn't find anything. I looked for some information in English, and I just found things like in the circus. And a couple of months later, I saw on an Instagram page that type of bike that I saw in the article. So I immediately texted that person that was tagged in that post, and I asked, what is this? How do I do that? And where do I start? And the person, she told me, this is artistic cycling. I am from Germany, and this is an official sport. So that's where my journey began. I left Peru, and I had the chance to go to Europe, and I watched the Artistic Cycling World Championship that was in 2018 in the city of Liège in Belgium, and I just started to make some connections. I was really lucky that I met the president or the vice president of this organization that it's called Indoor Cycling Worldwide, and they promote sport of artistic cycling. So they told me, well, we can help you by giving you bikes and information in English if there are a group of kids that want to learn artistic cycling in Peru. And I thought, okay, then that's my mission. So that's how it started.
There was a love for the bike at first. Shortly before I ask you my next question, I would like to connect and go back and ask you, you said you had a good life in Peru, you had a good position in your job. What was it that has made you so sad at the time and up to the point that you were looking for an adventurous escape?
Nice. I think that we are immersed on what our society says that we need to do. So I was following this. I was doing everything right. I went to school. I went to university. I started working. I was climbing the corporate ladder really, really fast. And I had it all. But something inside was telling me, why do you feel so miserable if you are having this successful life, what everybody says that is success? Like, what's going on? And I didn't know. I went into a really, really big depression. I didn't want to leave. And that's really sad. And when I realized that I didn't want to deal with that suffer, when I realized that I didn't want to leave, that's when I hit rock bottom and I said, okay, something needs to change. This is not my life. So I quit. And the only thing that I could do was ride my bike because I had no money. I had no friends. My friends were in my colleagues because my life was my work. So yeah, that's how I found the bike. And I think that I think that people is not used to listen to themselves, but we listen too much to what the outside world is telling us. So, yeah, if we learn that success is this and the life should be this way or this other way, you have to get married, have kids, and this and this and that, then yeah, we do our best to do that, but then we forget who we are.
Until we can't no more. So you can only do it as far as you can go. So you left Peru without money, with your bike, which sounds, I think, scary to so many to do that. I left my hometown to Greece, but I left by plane and I had a job. And I would say that what you did, like the adventure you went on, was so much more adventurous and risky. And people, I'm sure people feel that when they see, like, what? She just left home on a bike, not knowing what to do. And this is how I met you as well, as the person when we were rehearsing for our speeches, and everybody was nervous going on stage and making mistakes. And you were the one saying, well, I am confident that I'm gonna make this. And I looked at you and be like, wow, where do you get this faith, this belief in yourself from? How did you know that if you leave your hometown, that everything will go just right? Because this is what I remember from your storytelling me in the park a couple of months ago.
Everything was going to change. I mean, I knew that I didn't want to live the life that I was living. And the fact that I was leaving that life behind meant that everything, anything was possible. And that gave me a lot of hope and trust to know that things were going to change. And if I am already like leaving this all behind that because I really don't like that, whatever comes, it's going to be better. So I think that that gave me the confidence. Deep down, I knew that I could always go back and do the same and have a miserable life. But it was already miserable, so I really didn't want that. So I think that the fact that I didn't want it made me realize I'm not going back. Whatever comes is going to be better.
What happened next? You found yourself in the artistic cycling community in Germany. You participated in the World Championship, I think, last year in October. What happened in between? How did this whole in thing, the whole idea of riding a bike upside down, turned into, I'm gonna make this a living?
I saw myself really happy when I was riding my bike, and by learning artistic cycling, I felt empowered. I said, "Look, okay, this looks impossible, but I am learning how to do that. So, is there something that is really impossible?" And now I think that I have the mindset that everything is possible. Not everything at the same time. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of effort, tears, patience, and you are going to want to don't do that anymore and to drop off, but everything is possible. And when I saw that change in me, I'm like, I need more people to know this. It's not fair for life to give me this power to show me how powerful I am inside and just keep it to myself. Life has been so amazing to me that I need to share it. I want other people to feel the way I feel because it feels amazing. And that's when I started to do the translations of the rules of artistic cycling and prepare material in Spanish because yeah, when I began the story, there was no information in Spanish, but now there is. So I realized that my mission was not to train a group of kids in Peru, but to build a bridge between Spanish-speaking countries, to build the bridge between Spanish-speaking countries, my society, and this sport and all the values that this sport can give you and can teach you. So I started traveling and I started promoting this sport. All the trips were financed by this organization, Indoor Cycling Worldwide, and I was depending on them. And I said, okay, I don't want to depend on them anymore. And my life is artistic cycling. That's something kind of funny, I guess, because when people ask, what do you do? I'm like, what do I do for my life or what do I do to earn money? Because for me, those are two different questions. To earn money, I clean houses, but for my life, I artistic cycling is my life. So I said, okay, this is my life already, so I'm going to build a business from it because it fulfills me and I want to reach bigger. And if I don't make it like in a formal way, if I don't make a business plan, if I don't project like what are my goals, then I won't make it and I really won't make it. So that's when I realized, okay, artistic cycling is a sport. I am an athlete. I represent my country in the competitions. I train. That keeps me motivated. I won't be able to achieve the most difficult figures in artistic cycling, but that's okay because I started really late with this sport already as a grown-up, 5 years, 6 years ago. So I don't want to be the world champion, but I want to build a bridge for people who can aim to be the world champion. And not only as an athlete, not only as a trainer for trainers, but also through my voice, through my message, by sharing all the things that I am learning and motivating people to go and look what makes them happy. And also through, yeah, my books I am writing, also things that I want to tell myself from 10 years ago or 15 or 20.
I remember, I think you went on a mission that has actually found you, because I remember in your speech saying that you, through biking, you have found self-love. So biking is artistic cycling for you is not only the sports, because you're not aiming to be the athlete anymore, because you realized, okay, I started late, and this is just like, sometimes we need to take our chances as they come. And if you don't have the chances anymore, so I'll be probably like, I'm too late as well to become an Olympic or anything to reach it as an athlete. But still, I think sports and running for me is something that does empower me and teaches me that I can do difficult things. How did you connect self-love to artistic cycling?
I was grown as a really dependent girl. I depended on everyone to do what I wanted to do if I knew what I wanted to do. My brothers needed to come with me to the parties or to my friends or drive me. I was not allowed to use public transportation until I was already 18 or so, and it was really important for my parents that there was a partner, a boy, a man next to me who could take care of me. So I was really dependent my whole life. In the bike, that doesn't happen. It's you and your mind and your legs and your bike. So it's you and you. You can go at the pace that you want. You can go to the places that you want at the time that you want. If you want together with more people, you do. But if you want to go on your own, you do. But it's only you. So I learned that I learned that I could go around the city on my own, and actually that I was also not dependent on traffic, because Lima is a big city and there's a lot of traffic, and it was amazing. I remember the first Alicat race that I participated with my normal bike, and I was going through this big avenue between buses, really big buses, and I was like so small and riding my bike, and they were so fast, and I was so scared, and I started crying, and I thought, this is amazing. I am so scared, but I am actually doing it. When you realize that, it's like there's power in me. And I didn't know that, but now I know because I'm seeing it, because I'm feeling it, and it's amazing. So, yeah, I think that that's something that changed with the use of the bike and also with artistic cycling. It's so hard to learn a new figure, and you have to try it over and over and over again until you make it. So something in your mind clicks with a figure and you realize that it was so hard, but now I can, it's part of my routine and I can really make it. And it cost me so much. So you value it and you value the power that there is inside you.
I think this is when we take the journey to go from zero to something. Like, you knew how to ride a bike, but you probably didn't even know how to make a handstand. And then I just can imagine it when you finally achieve something. There is so much in life that we think that we won't achieve, and it's in business. but it is also in our personal ventures when we try to do something or anything like, why do I even think about this? I recently had an experience where I was laughing about myself right afterwards, as I was always wanted to go dance Latin American dances. So salsa here is very big on the island, and I used to dance many years ago with my ex-partner, who never enjoyed dancing. So you can imagine, we went into these dancing classes and he was unhappy. So was I, because he didn't put in the performance and everybody else was dancing great except for us. So at some point we stopped and I stopped dancing. And now my partner now is also not dancing, but I decided, you know what? We spoke about it. I'm like, please, can I go? Like, why do I need to be like, you know, I will limit myself if I force you to go, make you unhappy. But if I don't go at all, it won't make me happy. And I stand there, and it was all new people. I didn't know anybody except for my friends Michaela, who came along to join the classes. And honestly, I was thinking, like, when was I last time so afraid to make that step onto this little porch, you know, to go and get onto the basic step with your teacher? And it reminded me of New York City. I was like, I'm so new to this. I was back then to speaking. Like, you think you rehearsed your speech, and then you're about to go on stage and be like, oh my God, did I really do this great? But I guess I'll just do it and see. And with dancing, it was the same thing. Like, am I even meant for this? What on earth do I think even? You know, I'm gonna embarrass myself, I'm gonna make mistakes. Like, you know, you realize very quickly that all beginners will do the same mistakes and they will embarrass themselves. And but actually, if you do it as a group, you very quickly start to achieve together. And the moment you start from zero and you achieve something, and that's why I love also running, and why I love your story so much, because you are teaching yourself to do hard things you never believed are possible for you. And if we then project it onto life, like some would say, like, come on, Ivana, salsa is not difficult, but or it's not dangerous, or it's not risky. Like, you're not gonna, you know, nothing's gonna happen to you if you make a mistake. But in fact, when we project this onto our life and our business, our brain doesn't really know if you are artistic cycling, if you are pitching to, you know, to somebody, or if you are making a new dance move. So what this teaches us is really to be, you know, to teach you that you can do hard things no matter what. And I think artistic cycling is even a better example, because I truly cannot imagine to ride a bike on in a handstand, which is, yeah.
It's I think it's crazy, and yeah, like the small things that happen in our daily life, they really project in the bigger stuff that we want to do. I think that's really important. So I remember my first competition. I was so nervous, and my trainer told me, just figure after figure, like step after step, and it's just focus on the present, on that moment, and then go to the next and go to the next. And I was stepping into the competition area, and then I thought, like, why am I even nervous? I am the first participant, and my program, my figures are the most basic ones that the competition hall is not that full of people, but there are some people, and they are going to forget I'm just the first one. And I started laughing inside, and I thought, this is so stupid, because I don't have really hard figures. So I started laughing about myself being nervous for my basic figures, and that took my nervousness away. And then I realized that I could only do my best. The rest was out of my hands. So I did my best. And I said, it doesn't matter what comes out, if I get points deducted, and or if I make a lot of mistakes, it really doesn't matter. That what matters is that I do my best and that I have fun. And I was so nervous, and I laughed so hard about myself. It was an inner laugh that I really had this big smile, and I was like, I can only do my best and have fun. And I was having fun because I was already laughing about myself. So it was nice, and I had so much fun, and it was not a perfect program, but it was a really enjoyable one. And I think that when we do that, this applies for everything. So now when I think about my business, when I think about speaking, and when I think about being a coach of artists, exactly, when I think about the books that I want to drive and publish, and the one that I did, I only think it is for me. It is, I'm thinking about a target, but it is for me. At the end, I am the one who is enjoying it, enjoying the process, going step by step, and I know what the goal is, but I need to do step by step. And I can only do my best if I am in the present moment. So yeah.
This is what I find very impressive of you, because I have the feeling you do not overtake yourself. Like, in you are not racing against yourself, which is always found very impressive, because I'm a person, I easily get stuff on my table and I say yes to a lot of things, realizing like in a lifetime I will not fulfill this project, because it's just like every time you set out for something, you can easily add on plus 40% of time that you might need. Because if you haven't done something at first, we always underestimate the efforts that go in, then things that go wrong that we need to redo, etc. So what are you currently working on, Gracia? How are you going to bring artistic cycling through self-love, or self-love through artistic cycling through the world?
So I sent a couple of proposals to speak not only about artistic cycling, but also about empowerment and all the values that artistic cycling brings, community, and also my life experience. And I am working on that, and sometimes I'm like, okay, I need to do that faster, or I need to send more proposals, and then I'm like, no, wait, everything has its own time. It's perfect as long as I have a consistent, if I make a consistent, committed, imperfected action every day, it's okay. So I know that things are moving, and I try not to rush, because if I rush, then I get stressed. If I get stressed, then I am going to do things wrong, and then that's not going to do be my best. And I really want to give my best, because that's the only thing that is under my control. So of course I also have to fight sometimes my mind and realize that, why do I want to accomplish this so fast, or why am I running? Why am I overtaking a lot of stuff that I can't? But then I'm like, it's okay, just breathe. This is life, this is the present, what matter now, and how can you keep being yourself? Like, what's that? What's your ego? What's your consciousness? And what's here? What's right now? And when I don't know what to do, when everything is upside down, I just go outside and ride my bike. I realize that when I have no idea on where, when my thoughts are out of control, what I need to do is what makes me happy, and that's riding my bike.
I love this so much. When we, Gracia, when now you are young, full of with a big vision, where or how do you envision spending your old years?
I'm going to still be doing artistic cycling. I mean, as my life, probably in another way. I know that I'm going to continue traveling to do artistic cycling, and also to have holidays. And so I think that I'm going to be doing the same as I am, but in a different pace. And I really like the idea of that.
Slower.
Most probably.
Okay, so what you're just saying is that you found your life's mission, and that's it. And whatever gets out of it, and however it involves, you are confident that this is the path.
Even if it is not, I feel fine with that, because I know that we as human beings are dynamic. So if today I think this way and tomorrow I don't, I'm not going to judge me. I know that it's just me evolving into the next version of me, and that is okay. Even my dream and my idea with artistic cycling, it also evolved. I know that this makes me happy. I know that the bike is part of my essence. So I know that I'm going to stay on wheels And yeah, how that develops, I am not going to control that. I know what I would like that to be, but I am not going to control that. That's in my heart. That's in my intuition to go. So yeah, I think that I found my path. I am following it, and I am open to see if it's going to change or not, and to go with the flow and not resist to what's going to happen, because that's also part of the way. That's also part of the process, to not resist, actually. So yeah.
And to acknowledge. Thank you for taking us through this story. We will definitely be following your journey to connect with Grace. You will find all links in the show notes. She has written a little guide to bring artistic cycling closer to you, so we actually understand better what it is and how she learned to be empowered through artistic cycling. You will find everything in the show notes. And with that said, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate you.